listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
The message I want to share with you this morning is pursuing authenticity. Can I ask you a question? Here's my question. Has anybody ever said to you, get real? That's just another way of saying, be authentic. I wanted you to turn in your Bibles this morning. We're going to read some of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to tap into the first verse. I do want to read to you out of the English Standard Version. And we're going to talk about getting real this morning. Being authentic. Is this where anybody wants to go? How many want your Christianity to be real, authentic? Okay, buckle in your seatbelts here, because we're going to touch some amazing things that Jesus said. How many know if Jesus said it? It's pretty important stuff. Okay, here's what Jesus said. He says, judge not. That you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the treasure or the measure you use it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? We're talking this morning about growing. We're talking about yielding to Christ as Christians or followers of Jesus. I've often thought of this. What a great body of Christ would be like if our generation chose to be authentic Christians. The world around us is dying for followers of Jesus who are the real deal. And one of the key areas we must continually address is the way we treat one another. For me, I have to be honest with you this morning. Would I be any other way? I have a confession. And my confession is this, as I've become an ardent fan of the series entitled The Chosen. I hope you have been able to tap into that series. There are a number of sessions, they call them, and each of these sessions has an episode, and it's about Jesus choosing people like you and me. And it not only taps into the teachings of Jesus, but it shows us this motley crowd that he gathers around him called his disciples. And Jesus has his work cut out for them. Anything from a type A Peter to a little dicey guy named Matthew to a transformed zealot who becomes zealous for the kingdom. Jesus has his work cut out because they find themselves not getting along very well. And they are in each other's face. And Jesus finds himself settling some of their arguments and their strong opinions of how life should be broken down. Kind of reminds us of the church, doesn't it? Anybody here have a strong opinion of how things should happen? Jesus didn't just call us to be disciples. He was very explicit to his instructions regarding our life together with one another called community. Can we get along as the followers of Jesus? And what does that look like? Today's often quoted but poorly applied teaching from Jesus give us a touch point in pursuing authenticity or becoming real. That is, in the way that we handle one another. Church, we've been called to be experts in how we relate with each other. Because Jesus said something like this: by how you relate to each other is going to be very, very important in communicating the heart of the kingdom to the people outside of the jurisdiction of the church. So according to Jesus' words in Matthew 7, verse number 1, we choose to be authentic by not judging others. Now, too many people, hear me out, are eager to quote the judge not part of his statement as a blanket prohibition on all evaluation. That is, somehow we're not to confront or assess situations. The Bible is real clear on being fruit inspectors. There's a place to evaluate the fruit in our life. Seldom is the entire context of Christ's word taken this into account. You see, people cherry pick what they want to hear, and no pun intended here. Judge not does not mean judge nothing. Actions are among the few things that can be judged. Evil should be called evil. Anybody agree? Sin must be identified as sin. Anybody here say amen? Good actions can be judged as good. So we should want these matters pointed out in our lives. And they may need to be graciously pointed out in the lives of others. But judgment must be guarded wisely and with the gift of discernment. Authentic Christ followers learn when and how to judge. And this is what I want to address this morning. How do we do this in the spirit of Jesus? Becoming skilled in this area is so important to our growth and development. And on the other hand, there are areas for us to avoid. I want to give you some matters that should not be judged. We should not stick our nose in these areas. They're off limits. they're out of bounds to us. The first is we're not to judge motives. We don't know why people do what they do. And that's why judging motives is off limits to us as fellow believers. I don't know your motive. God alone knows the intention of your heart, and only He can respond as He can to that matter. And when we presume to grasp motives, we're stepping dangerously into God's area of responsibility. And we have no response. We have no right to be God, right? Only God is God. So motives are off the table. Secondly, don't judge appearance. Don't judge a book by its cover. How many have heard that statement? The color of a person's skin, their clothes, their possessions and environmental factors, these are not a basis for judgment. Appearance-based verdicts are notoriously off the mark. The reason is because they ignore the one factor that Jesus never ignored, and that is the person. People are important. Very important. And by the way, as a person that God loves and gave His life for. Thirdly, don't judge harshly. First is, don't judge motives. Secondly, don't judge appearance. And thirdly, don't judge harshly. When we do have to make a judgment call, we must season it with grace. Just as we know we would want to be treated if the roles were reversed. So let's talk about this for a moment this morning. The Lord's words as a whole caution us to always consider how we want to be judged and measured before we apply our standards to anyone else's situation. Exempting ourselves from the standards by which we measure others is blatant hypocrisy, according to Scripture. And Jesus summarized by saying, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them." And Jesus even uses the speck in your eye example in Matthew chapter 7 to make the point that we choose to be authentic by judging ourselves first. So we need to apply this standard to ourselves. All too often we deflect or even avoid significant problems of our own pointing out the shortcomings of others. So Jesus is clear, and He's clear on this point, that first we must deal with our own issues honestly before Him. And only then can we rightly reflect the truth, His truth and grace. And when we speak to others about issues in their lives, remember the world does not take notice, or it does take notice, rather, when followers of Jesus act authentically. It's how we treat each other. It's how we handle each other. Do we Do we employ love? Is there love flowing in our relationships? And we need to get real with one another. It doesn't mean we cancel out a person's unbiblical activity, because we've been called to be fruit inspectors, but it's how we apply ourselves, because that's important. And always remember, the world does take notice when followers of Jesus act in a real manner, authentically. Our generation needs to see, and I've been looking at this all week, as a matter of fact, our generation needs to see real Christ followers as badly as any other time in history. But the world has little patience with people who claim to be Christians and set in and act in hypocritical ways. So a good place to start in this matter is to ask the Lord to banish any tendency to hold a different standard than you hold for yourself. I'm going to ask that you ask for a clearer perspective of your own shortfalls and seek the help and power of the Holy Spirit in your life to become one of those in this generation who are authentic, authentically His. Our day in history, 2022, we've just finished that. 2023, we're embarking on that, is rather unique. It's unique because we are in the middle of what I would call a cultural war. You might have asked yourself, can I make sense of what we're experiencing in this day and age? We're in a season of turbulence. Can I put it this way? Where right is being called wrong, and wrong is being called right. And I don't want to oversimplify this morning, but I have right here 11 pages that describe this cultural war. And get, just relax, I'm not going to go through 11 pages. But I'm going to tell you what these 11 pages contain. They contain the collision. It's a violent collision of the baby boomers who are living off the wealth of their parents that has been passed down to them, and they've developed what is called a hedonistic, self-centered culture. And these baby boomers are in collision with the Generation X and millennialists of our day who don't see their values the same way. And they're pursuing other issues in life. You see, though, in Jesus' day, you had a collision also that occurred between the Roman rule and the Jewish religious order. That was a major collision taking place in our world about 2,000 years ago. And then insert Jesus establishing the kingdom of God in that entire mess. Talk about a collision. Talk about culture wars. Talk about a spiritual battle. It was happening big time when Jesus graced the planet. It was a violent collision. And we can expect no less as the kingdom of God values are inserted in our present day value system that is in total upheaval. But the big question is how is the church representing Jesus and his kingdom? And how do we handle ourselves in this hour of advancing the kingdom of God? Some of God's people want to escape. They want to get out of this thing, and they can't wait for Jesus to take them out of the mess that we find ourselves in. Whereas others are contending to be salt and light and a beacon of hope in a troubled world. And by the way, this world is in big trouble. We prayed last week and the week before and the week before about the conflicts in this world, some of which are happening in South America, some in Mexico, not to mention Europe at this time, and the invasion of Ukraine. You got a mixed bag on your hands, church, as far as a world situation. But I do believe that the kingdom of God, under the direction of the King of Kings, is advancing. And somehow you have to find your place in this advancing kingdom in a very, very troubled world. Not only you individually, but us together and how we go and love on one another. We need each other. The church was never meant to be a solo show. We're to be together and advance the kingdom of God. And one of the qualifying marks of the advancing kingdom is how we love on one another. How we care for one another. How we stand with one another. So somebody has to step up and be a fruit inspector. Because our lives need to reflect the kingdom of God and his kingdom. And the more you get into this journey of representing Jesus and all of what he wants to do, how many know he wants to transform lives? He wants to put them on a pathway. He wants to bring healing into their life so they can be more effective. You know, one of the things that I've learned about the Chosen series is that when Jesus performed a miracle or a healing, it was for a purpose. It wasn't simply to relieve people of their pain and agony. When you understand that the healing of the lame man from his birth at the pool of Bethesda was intricately related to the calling of Judas Iscariot, not Judas Iscariot, but Simon the Zealot, then you can see that Jesus is up to something. And we need to trust him in the journey. Trust him with our lives. Trust him with the adjustment that he wants to bring to us. Stretch us and mold us and change us into his image. Somebody put it this way: Jesus loves us so much that he doesn't want us to stay the same. And he's going to change us into his likeness and his image. Are you up for that? So let me wrap up. What are the most authentic relationships that you can identify in your life? Doesn't need to be a boatload. Just a few real relationships. Even in your family. In the house of the Lord. What's it like for you? Do you refrain from people? Do you go hide in corners? Do you keep people at a bay and distance yourself? Maybe God wants to change that. Maybe God wants to make you an integral, real player in advancing his kingdom in 2023. It might mean changing your schedule around a little. Maybe you've got plans already for the summer. Are you open to Jesus changing those plans? Maybe you've booked flights and put deposits down on vacations. What if Jesus came and altered that a little bit? Would you be able to say, "Not my will, but your will be done"? What does it look like in your interpersonal relationships with people in your family, people in the church, people in the workplace? And which of Jesus' warnings would you benefit most from in following most closely with him? You got to bear in mind, Jesus lived an absolute, authentic life. Without, hear me, a hint of bitterness, without caution, without fear. That's what authenticity looks like. And we've been called into that. A life like that of Jesus. How many here could embrace this process? First, you start by saying, "Goodness, I'm not where I need to be. I mean, I've been alive for a few decades now. I've been serving Jesus for tons of years. I have not arrived, but I am an open candidate for him to change me and grow me and do with me." Like the song that Fabiana led us in today. Because we're surrendering, right? Surrendering to his workmanship. Stand to your feet with me, would you please? Can I pray for you? How many feel that you're a candidate today for anything that Jesus has for you? See, we go to that safe place, Jesus. We trust him. We believe him. So let's turn our eyes to him. Let me pray for you. Jesus, today, everybody in this room was arrested by you at a different time period. But we were taken captivity by your love and your compassion toward us when we were a big time wreck, you loved us and put your arms around us and drew us in. Sometimes we have not gotten this right. We've drawn wrong conclusions, kind of like your disciples did 2,000 years ago. Sometimes we haven't gotten along with one another the way we should have gotten along with one another. And henceforth, we haven't represented you well in our neighborhood. But that's changing, Jesus, because we're inviting you to come and complete a work that you began the day you said, "Follow me." And so today, Lord, we stand with lifted hands and just simply say, "Lord, keep on working in me." And in this crazy world in which we are living in, where there's so much, so much, follow hard after you and link arms with the people you've connected us with and not undervalue their importance in the journey. Government in our life, friendships in our life, directives in our life, those things that keep us on course. We know this one thing, Jesus, we can trust you. We can trust you with this one life you've given us and invested for the kingdom. So we're banking on you, Jesus, today and asking you to complete the process. Must go. Just take what I've said this morning. Let the Holy Spirit allow that to resonate in your spirit. And maybe throughout this week, God's going to put you in the crucible of change. And you're going to be called on to make decisions that are kingdom oriented. Maybe it's going to be a family dynamic. Maybe it's going to be a church dynamic. Maybe it's going to be a workplace dynamic. Wherever that occurs, you're going to make a choice for the kingdom. And the love of Christ is going to abound in your life. Amen? God bless you. Go in the strength of Jesus today. Thank you.
listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.